Somebody said the correct answer. Somebody gave a smart aleck answer. Scott said church. And Ray said 2 Corinthians. Did you say 6? Oh. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 is where we're going to start. We're going to try to get the back half of this. Establishing your ministry was last week's, or making foolproof, or solidifying your ministry. That was 6, 1 through 11. We're going to start through 11, and we'll try to get to 18. This will conclude this series. We're going to start a little bit of a series on Sunday morning. I don't know if we're going to do it starting this Sunday morning or not, but it'll be the four stages of Mephibosheth. So, but I think I might have a different message for this Sunday and then start it through the rest of the month of June. Have I gave y'all enough time to find 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11? This is going to be really good. I'm not going to pretend like everybody in here doesn't need this in their self, but I'm going to take this as like, I'm going to teach you so you teach somebody else, okay? I know the kind of layout of the church, so this will be something that you can implement in your home, in your ministry, in some area of your life. But if you're sitting here tonight and this word hits you, let it change you too. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when we get into this word tonight, this is probably one of the biggest problems we have in the United States, if not the world, as far as the church comes, as far as it's concerned. Why are we in the state that we're in? Why are we in the situation we're in? I believe Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, and remember, this is 2 Corinthians. This is a church that is established, okay? These are believers, okay? So he's talking to them like the way he's going to talk here in a moment, and it's very straightforward, it's very poignant, because if it was going to be relevant then, it's even more relevant now, okay? So let's get into it. You're going to see a familiar passage. It's probably one of the most familiar passages in the Scripture as far as it's used in the church. It might not be used 100% correctly all the time, but we're going to see it for the way it is supposed to be used, okay? Oh, ye Corinthians, do y'all see that? Oh, ye Corinthians, oh. Paul, I wish you'd hear what he said right there. He goes, oh, I love you. Oh, I care about you. I'm passionate about you. Oh, you're in my heart. Amen? He cared about the Corinthian church. He planted that church. He started that church. He loved these people. Amen? I want to kind of hit there. Oh, you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. What he's saying is, what's coming out of my mouth is out of my heart for you. I'm not doing this for my sake. I'm not doing this because I start churches. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm an apostle. I'm a great speaker. Whatever the case may be, that wasn't the case. He's, I love you, and out of my heart, I'm speaking to you. When I first wrote this down tonight and looked at it and went over it again, let me ask you a question. As a believer, what are you passionate? What have you been called to do? What thing has God put on your heart and you know you do it, that you do it because you love it and you want to do it because God's put it on your heart? Then it's Holy Spirit driven. Right? There's got to be something that God's put in it. If you haven't found it yet, I would sit in a place where nobody but you and God could hear, and I'd wait on Him and say, God, speak. God, send. God, direct. I want that thing. Whatever you want me to go after. And listen, I am not going to put a prince. I'm not going to put anything on you. I'm not going to say, be a preacher, be a teacher, be a Sunday school person. Man, your thing might be numbers. You might be a holy numbers guy or girl. Amen? You might be a counselor. It might be something so insignificant to the church world, but it's significant to God. Amen? Does that make sense to you now? Paul, it was his heart to go to the Gentiles. Let me tell you something. Usually when God sends you somewhere or puts something in your heart, it will be something that you would never in a million years wanted to do in your own personal life, but God put it on you and you can't help but want to do it, and the Spirit leads you. Amen? And the Spirit leads you in it. And you know what? People would identify you as that. people would go, that's what they do. Amen? That's what they do. I pray for everybody in this church to seek that. And if you know what it is, keep doing it. If you're doing it, do it. Amen? Encourage your people you teach. Encourage the people that you minister to. Find what God has for you. Seek it. Seek it like you were seeking your salvation. I was thinking about this just this week and last week. I've seen so many people over the years in here get saved. I've seen y'all seen miraculous salvation since you've been here? I know you have because I know you, and I've been here, and I've seen people who've been caught in the tractor beam of salvation. Some of y'all are sitting in this room. You got drawn to the altar. You got saved. You got born again. You know what? And we've seen that happening, but then we've seen just a few months after that or a year after that, that same person, nothing ever changed in their life. And I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they need to be seeking after that same. Everybody knew they were lost, and everybody was praying for them, and everybody was seeking. Hey, now we need to challenge them. You're born again. You're going to heaven. Find that thing. Find it. You say, well, man, you want me to go in full-time ministry? You want me to go to overseas in the missionary field, something like that? No, I want you to find your purpose for God. Your purpose for God might be you're the most encouraging person on the face of the planet. Everywhere you land, you might just encourage people. Waitresses, people at your job, your boss, everybody. People that normally wouldn't be encouraged, that may be at your job. You're supposed to encourage people. Maybe you got a passion for it. And if people at that work finally says, are you having a bad day? Go find Sister So-and-so. Man, she will lighten your day up. Find so brother so, he'll help you, all right? Something along those lines. But find what it is. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I remember when I first got called and started preaching and getting excited about doing what I was going to do. I remember going to somebody. I was preaching on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, going to different things. And I went to somebody who was interviewing to go into full-time ministry. And I was sitting with them. And they said, are you doing anything? I said, well, I'll do this on Monday. And I do this on Tuesday. And I do this on Thursday. And I kind of go down here to the homeless thing. And sounds like to me you're already in full-time ministry, brother. You got a job, but you're a full-time ministry too. All right? So Paul's desire and his heart were for these people. But what he's saying, this is what he was saying, and they loved him. The Corinthian church, you can tell people just about anything you want to tell them if you tell them from a place of you love them and you want the best for them and they know it. Amen? I mean, you can come up with, some people say, how do you preach to people that are struggling in this area or that area or that area? You got to show them that you love them. You got to show them that you're real. You got to show you have compassion for them, and you tell them the truth. And they can be mad at you. They can throw rocks at you. They can go down the road and leave you, but eventually they're going to come back around and say, well, at least they love me enough to tell me the truth. So Paul is telling these people, he said to the Corinthians, I love you. I love you so much, but you know what? Look what he says in verse 12. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. What is he saying? You have other desires. Our focus is towards you and promoting you and getting you further in the kingdom of God, getting to get you to get on board with God's desire in your life. Your heart is not for that. That's tough, ain't it? Could you imagine if you started out telling somebody that? Hey, you know what? I'm pouring my heart into you. I'm pouring it out to you. I'm pouring everything I got into you. You know what? Yeah, that's not what you want. You know what I think, though, in 2021? This is some of the kind of real conversation we need to start having. Are you okay? We really need to start having these kind of conversations. Hey, we're talking that we want these things, but we're not really, it's not coming together. You know what I'm saying? It's not happening. That's what Paul's saying. Look, I'm pouring my heart out to you. But you know what? There's some other desires in there. Watch this. I got this next verse. This verse was written for me. All right? Watch this right here, verse 13. Now for a recompense, let's make a deal here. In the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye so in Lord. What he's saying is, I'm talking to you like a father talks to a child. Listen, I'm looking around the room, there's some dads in here, okay? Listen to this. If you can't get this, you can get it. You got this right here. This is right down dad lane, okay? You know what Paul was saying right here? He's saying, I'm going to talk to you like a dad would talk to a son or a daughter when something is wrong and I've got to help fix it. Every woman in here, every man here, you've had this experience. Everybody sitting in this room, let me take a survey real quick. Yeah, okay, I'm pretty spot on. Got it. All right, look, watch this right here. Everybody in this room has either had this conversation given to them or they've given the conversation. Amen? Is that all right? Have you ever, listen, no, golly, let me, we're not on camera. Let, watch this right here. Have you ever had your father or your mother, but let's just, in this case right here, a dad who said, look, all the political stuff, all the other stuff that's going on, that's great. You know, all the other kids and all the school stuff. And, you know, when you're in public, say one thing. But all of a sudden, there's a real issue going on in your life. Okay? There's a real issue going on in your life. Not dating the right person. Not doing good around other people in church. Let's say, whatever the case, I mean, you just know. Maybe you got a hint that maybe they're using some kind of drugs or something, right? Are y'all good? And dad goes like this. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Right? I don't care about Joe and Johnny and Tina and Tammy and them. It's me and you. Okay? We're going to stop this right here. Or we're going to change some things right here. Are y'all tracking with me? Are y'all tracking with me what I'm trying to tell you? Paul looked at the Corinthian church and he says, I am your spiritual dad. I don't care what all the other churches are doing. I don't care what everybody else says is right or wrong. I'm connected to God, and I'm in charge of you. And guess what? I feel like a dad right here when I'm saying this. I'm not raising everybody else. I'm raising you. Y'all good? Now, see, I seen some faces. Y'all, that connected. That makes sense right there. You got it? That's what Paul's doing right here. He's not wearing them out as much as he's saying, I love you enough to do what's needed as a father to a child. Amen? When you read this scripture, you need to see it that way. You need to say, you don't need to look at it and say there's do's and don'ts and can'ts and won'ts. It's a dad who's looking at his sons and daughters and going, not on my watch. Amen? I mean, it's one thing, well, yeah, did you hear about so-and-so? Like, I wish I could be real, so real with y'all right here. So-and-so's son did this. No, it's okay. So-and-so's daughter done this. No, it's all right. Your son was with him. Whoa. Right? What? Your daughter was, she was in the car too. Really? Really? But just a second ago, it was okay. It was good. It'll be all right. Just need to talk to him, whatever case, but you know, it'll work out. Oh, yeah, by the way, your son was with him. Really? Really? Well, Kevin, you just need to calm down. It'll be all right. It's going to be all right. Yeah, okay. I'll calm down when after I see him. Are y'all all right? I'm so glad y'all are finally melting into this message right here, because that is what Paul's doing here. And I wish you, I totally get it as a pastor now. I'm finally kind of learning a little bit about being, listen, I don't care what the First Baptist Saudi Days is doing. I don't care what the First Baptist of Dunlap's doing. I don't care what the Church of God or the Methodist Rainbow. I care what Flat Top Independent Church is doing. That's what I care about. That's what I care about you. You know what? And if I can't come in here and tell you what's really real and what's really wrong, what's really what we got to do, then guess what? We're just having fun. We're just coming in here and having a meeting. We're just coming in here and saying, you know what? We had a word, we had worship, we got out. Anybody can do that. It's a club. Paul says, I care about you. And I want to see you be the best that you can be. And sometimes the best you can be takes correction. Somebody said, how do you know you had a great high school basketball coach? Correction. How do you know you had a great father? Correction. How do you know you had a great mother? Correction. The good stuff's the good stuff. It's good. Oh, he gave me this, or I got that. But you can only really tell if somebody corrects you correctly. Amen? Because that's the hard stuff. And Paul comes in and he says that. He goes, I'm pouring into you. I love you. And this is what God said. I love pouring into you, but you're not connected the way you need to be connected. And we need to go into our Sunday school classes, in our youth groups, in our families, and say, listen, you're telling me that you love God, But something's not adding up. Let's see what we can do about it. Watch this right here. Verse 14. This is the verse that everybody hears. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? That is a fair question. We sugarcoat that, water it down, play it off as one section in one place. That's where we do it. Dating. With a little Christian girl, little Christian guy, first thing we'll say, don't be unequally yoked. You know what I'm saying? That's what we say every single time, right? Well, you don't need to be dating him. They're not Christian. They're not in church. Don't be unequally yoked. That is not the only place that is supposed to be put in. That is supposed to be at any relationship in your life that matters. That's every relationship. Friendship, marriage, business relationships. Anything that matters, that's going to be intense, that's going to be faithful, it's going to be true, it's going to be right, you're going to have to say, guess what? I can't go with everybody. I can't talk with everybody. I can't sit with everybody. I can't commune with everybody. He says, if you're unequally yoked, you know what? I used to read this every time, and I always say it this way. You put one ox with one donkey, and you're going to have a pulling mess. Right? If you yoke up an oxen and a donkey, you're going to go all over the place. And that was a bad analogy. It was terrible. It's the worst analogy possible because nobody would do it. It's stupid. It's just two oxen. And one oxen's big and one oxen's small. Eventually, they're going to go in a full circle. Amen? And you know what? I always say, well, you know, because sometimes as Christians, we think we're bigger than we promote that we're bigger than we really are. Amen? And I'll give you the example. He's a good guy. She's a good girl in any aspect that I just talked about and even more. And I'm a Christian in her life and I'm trying to be effective in her life. If you really, really got down to it, when y'all set out every day, God, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on, but I'm just going to keep preaching. Every single day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year, 365 days. I hear you. By the end of that week, by the end of that month, and by the end of that year, who do you think is going to be pulling who in what direction? What conversation do you think is going to be had more in a year's period of time? Weather, sports, work, boss, wife, kids, Jesus. Man, we got to yoke up with people that are believers. We've got to marry people who are believers. And I will go back to that when you say, well, man, what's the problem with marrying somebody? You know, maybe I can win them over. Marriage is not a mission field. Amen? It's not. You need to get married. They need to get right before they get married, and you do too. Amen? You say, well, what do I do now? I'm already married. You better start praying. Start living. Walking it out. Praying that God helps. Amen? Because that's the only one that's going to fix it. Amen? But I'm talking about friendships too. Listen, be kind, be courteous, be loving. But guess what? When I'm talking about true friends, they're going to be there. They're going to outpull you. Let me explain it this way. Here's another way of explaining it. Two oxen, right? Okay, these two oxen, they're standing there and they got the yoke. They're about to pull. They're going to run down this field. They're going to run together, right? Okay, when they're going, our nature's going to pull one way or the other, right? Well, this other oxen over here, he or she has not got Jesus. You have Jesus, and you might start out good, but the only thing that you two got in common is sin. You hear me? The only thing you two got in common is sin, and you still have a sin nature in you. Eventually, they're going to be pulling you down instead of you pulling them up. Amen? And I know that's hard to hear sometimes, and we want to think, well, you don't know my situation, and you don't know what's going on, and I've got good friends that are not saved. Listen, I'm just telling you, that's what's going on in the world, because guess what? The world has more influence than the church does. And if you don't think that's true, you just wait for the whole month of this month to take place. This whole month, we've got less influence than the world. We've got less influence. And why do you think that was? It's because we have joined up in every segment and area of life and said, let's go together in deep, deep friendships, deep, deep working relationships, and deep, deep marriages and stuff like that. And guess what? We've been pulled all over the place by the world. And that's just the honest truth. That's like a father talking to a son or a daughter. That's like God speaking to me. And you know what? I'm not immune to this. I'm not far removed from it, because there's times where God is saying, Kevin, you are yoked up right now emotionally to this world, and it's pulling you all over the place. You need to get out from under the yoke that you're under. Let me meddle. Can I meddle? Y'all are so quiet. Man, I must be either preaching really good, or y'all are like, God, can we get done? It's what you read. It's what you listen to. It's what you entertain in your mind sometimes. All you need to do is read a book or read a story or listen. Man, you can listen to one audio book. I've listened to one audio book riding to Arkansas. That thing messed me up. I love the story. I love the story. It's a great story. But there was some stuff in it. I'm sitting there going, that's crazy that it had that much influence. You know why? Because I rode for an hour and a half listening to it, and I was so engrossed in the story. I loved the story, but there was some stuff in it that I shouldn't have been listening to. But guess what? I'm killing some drive time. Huh? I'm entertained. But now I can't. It's easier. Listen, I'm preaching. It's easier to input than to output. But I mean, it's easier for it to be put in than for it to get out. Amen? Once it gets in here, getting it out is a hard process. It's a long process. And that's why the devil wants that to happen for you. So we need to remember that. We don't need to be yoked up with the world. Amen? Now, I know some of you are going to sit here like, I know it, because when I'm going through these messages, I'm sitting here going the same thing. But this friend and that friend. What I'm talking about is when you get into a relationship, you need to be praying to God, do I need to connect myself to this person in this relationship? Will it honor you? Will it glorify you? And is it going to be good for me? Okay? That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. That's what God told me. Because a lot of times, what we call good is not good. And what we call as influential is we're not influential at all. They're influential in our lives. Verse 15. And what accord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I just want you to hear this. If God's in you, listen, I'm being honest with you. If God's in you and he dwells in you, there are just some places that you can't be in. There are just some conversations you're just going to say, that's enough. I can't handle it. I can't listen to it. There's only so much drama. There's only so much bitterness. There's only so much gossip. There's only so much, this ain't ever going to work. I don't like this. This is bad. They said, da, da. I'm going, stop. I've got to get out of this. Right? And I'm not even talking about cursing. When you get to cursing, man, I can only listen. Man, that wears me out. Well, that's just the way he is. Well, that's the way he's going to have to change. We're going to be around each other because I can't stand it. Are you okay? But I want you to get this, man. This is, we are the temple of God. This church is not the temple of God. We are. And God dwells in us. And his spirit's offended. And you know what? And it should be. You know what? You're going to change. I'm going to preach. Some of you will change more people's life by what you walk away from instead of what you walk into. People will watch you. One part of my testimony is a guy right before I got saved, we played ball together, and he would leave and go to church on Sunday and Wednesday night. And some other nights when they'd have a different meeting, it blew my mind. I'm a competitive athlete. I played sports my whole life, and I would go play ball, and I would be over there getting my stuff ready, and all of a sudden, man, 5 o'clock. I mean, we're just getting started. I'd see him running to the dugout. See you guys later, and he's packing his stuff. I'm going, what are you talking about? Where are you going? So I got to go to church. It's Wednesday night, man. I got to go get my wife and kids. Got to go to church. And I mean, I was lost. I was lost and undone. I was a sinner. Cuss, foul mouth, adultery, fornicator, liar. Man, my heart was wicked, man. But I could watch that dude all the way to his car, backing up, pulling out. I'm going, wow. Wow. He just didn't want to stay. He wanted to go and be a part of something bigger than this. And I said, I still remember, what was this, 17 years later. I can still remember the guy walking away from that. That was bigger to me than anything else. I can remember that. Man, I'm telling you, when you have a conviction in your heart and you say, I can't be around that, I can't do that, I can't say that, I can't be a part, people are going to go, tell me that. Why? I'm not condemning you. It's me. It's the God in me that's offended. It's the God in me that I can't. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to put my name on that. God's pulled us out of that. God pulled you out of it. We do that every Sunday, every Wednesday, all the time. God pulled me up on the miry clay, set my feet on solid ground. Why in the world do you want to go sloshing around in the mud again if he did it? If he did it. We get offended sometimes at God's word because he says, don't be apart with these kind of people. Don't be yoked up. Why not? Were you in the pit alone? Do you not remember being in the pit? Oh God, I wish y'all would let me preach tonight. The pit's packed. The people in the pit, they love company. And they'll help you stay. You want to smoke? You want to hit? You want to drink? Come on, man. I got plenty. Stay here. Stay here until we both run out and we can't get out. Right? So then all of a sudden we get Christian. Well, we don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hurt nobody. Nobody worried about offending anybody or hurting anybody when we were lost in our sin. All we want to do is get out. And God got us out, and all we can do is talk about, well, maybe I can just tiptoe around in there. Maybe, you know. Won't be so bad. Maybe the world will know how real we are. God, the world don't need any education on sin. They need to see somebody who gets out of it and stays out of it and won't get back in it because they know how dangerous it is. We need to treat our sins like how devastating they are. We need to treat certain situations how devastating they are. Some people make fun of me sometimes. Well, I won't do this or I won't do that. I won't go to certain places or I won't do something. They go, well, man, you're a big Christian now. That probably shouldn't bother you. Are you kidding me? The devil will get on my shoulder and say, Kevin, you deserve this. You deserve it. You deserve to say that. You deserve to get that. You deserve to feel that. I don't deserve anything. What are you talking about? Amen. Just come on, have a little fun. You know what? The devil's never sold me on nothing that it didn't start out with, man, it's gonna be the funnest time of your life. And I could see it going in. This ain't gonna be fun, it's gonna be devastating. Amen. God. Man, I don't know if this is helping any of y'all here, but it's helping me. And I guess that's a big part of it. And what agreement? Verse 17. Wherefore, come out. Listen, I didn't write this. I didn't make it up. 17 says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Saith the Lord. What did he say? Come out. Listen, I'm preaching to somebody in here tonight. Some of y'all, you came and sit in the wrong place tonight. He's like, there's some things in your life that are kind of like, well, I don't know. You know what? Some of y'all are going to have to come out. Some of y'all going to have to put it in four-wheel drive and come out. Some of y'all going to have to lock the hubs and come out of it. Some of y'all going to have to come out of some relationships that you're in. Some of y'all going to have to come out of some friendships. Some of y'all going to have to come out of some situations and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Some of y'all going to have to switch tables. Some of you are going to move off some friends. And they're going to come to you and go, what's going on? You want to tell them, hey, man, God's convicted my heart. I'm going to have to move on. I've kind of settled back into some situations, and I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. God says, come out from amongst them. I got to come out. I'm sorry. Don't mean I hate you. I'm not mad at you. I don't know. It's me. Man, it's me. Let me read that to you again. I don't know if you got the weight of that. Watch this right here. Hold on. Wherefore come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Listen to this last part. And I will receive you. So who you want to be received by? Who's important? Right? You can be received by the whole world, or you can be received by God. Right? You get the whole world's approval. Get the whole world. Oh man, he's good. He's cool with that. Man, he's a Christian. He's cool. He'll let you know. He ain't that. Or you can get God to receive you. I won't be. Man, I'm being honest with you. If God's okay with me, I'm all right with everybody else that I worry about. I'm concerned about. I'll say that real slow again. If I'm all right with God, everybody else will work out. Everybody else, it'll filter itself out. One way or the other. Amen. They might have to go, or they can stay. I don't know. But you know what? If God says go, I got to go. If I got to step up and step out, it's all right. It could be uncomfortable. It could be weird. It could be that. But guess what? I'd rather God say, I'm receiving you. I'm good. Amen? Verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Did y'all notice? Did y'all see the transition right there? At first, Paul was talking, and this is how it works. Paul was talking to the Corinthians like a father talks to the children, to the son or daughter. And by the end of it, it wasn't Paul talking to them, it was the Lord. And what was Paul saying for the Lord and writing for the Lord? And ultimately the Lord was saying, if you would yoke up with the right relationships, then guess what? I will treat you like my sons and daughters. Whew. That's what the Lord Almighty says. Amen? There ain't nothing God can't do. There is nothing God can't bring into your life. Let me say it like this. There is nothing that's lacking in your life that God can't meet. What we do sometimes is we forget that God is the one who made us, and He fills us with whatever we need. Amen? And sometimes what we try to do is we try to fill what we think we need with something we don't need. And you know what? God's sitting there going, no, you're getting ahead of me or trying to go around me or usurp my authority in your life. And that's why you're struggling again. What I need you to do is get yoked up with me, seek me, and guess what? I will bring into your life everything you need. And there'll be peace in it. I wish I would shout, everyone, just amen or something. There'll be peace in that. There'll be joy in that. There'll be happiness in that. And you won't have to sit around fretting and being worried and mad and hurt because you did something. You're wondering why it ain't working out, because guess what? You're yoked up with bad relationships. They're turning into situations, and all the things in your life that are coming in are not of God. And you're sitting there going, well, I can't believe the devil's just wearing me out. It ain't the devil. It's you. It's you. Now, he's helping you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you would just do a simple thing, sometimes you're just going to have to step out of some things and evaluate. Amen? You're just going to have to evaluate. You're just going to have to take it, the good old word right here for me, you're going to have to take inventory. Good, bad, keep, throw away. Amen? You know who's good at that? The Holy Spirit of God. He will be real clear with you. A keeper, that's got to go. Stay right here. Amen? Y'all good?